You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, featuring Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
Join them on their journey as they grow from gambling writers to sports betting sharps.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast. Now, Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
Showtime. It's conference championship weekend. We're here from Sportsbook Wire. It's host Jeff Clark. I got my co-host Gambling Consigliere on the line with me, Eston McLaren. We're trying to make some money here to wrap up the NFL season, cash some tickets. Eston, are you confident heading into the conference championship weekend?
Of course I am. Coming off a big divisional round week. And yeah, let's carry it on into the AFC and the NFC championship. And hey, it's time to make some money. There was enough money lost in the regular season. Playoffs are making it back, baby.
Yeah, you're on fire in the playoffs. And we're going to talk about that here in a minute. I've had a weak showing, but I'm excited about the conference games. I think the matchups are pretty sweet. I don't have any like reason to think that one of these games or either one of these games is going to be like unwatchable, so that's exciting.
Yeah, it, I mean, just the difference in the quarterback matchups, and it was the same really last week in both conferences. Like, you got the battle of the goats in the NFC with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, obviously, and then in the AFC we have the greatest quarterback to ever play football in Patrick Mahomes against, you know what, a Josh Allen who has thrust himself into the competition for, you know, at least one of the greatest active quarterbacks. It's pretty great.
Yeah, it's a somewhat similar quarterback conversation, just like a decade removed in age difference on both sides.
Yeah, and it's crazy. Obviously, what Rodgers and Brady have done in their careers, obviously they deserve to be talked about like the greatest to ever do it. But, you know, Patrick Mahomes, we're in what, year four? And I don't know. He's as good as they are, right? Like, I don't think there's been a quarterback who's as accomplished as much as he has right away and has dominated the league as quickly and as, I don't know, dominantly as he has. It's crazy that, yeah, all the GOAT talk goes to them. I think Patrick Mahomes deserves that talk as well. And when it's all said and done, you can only dream about what those numbers are going to be.
Yeah, I thought it was I heard a fact on sports radio or one of the podcasts I listened to that this is the first conference title game featuring quarterbacks that are both 25 or under, which is something surprising, but it's not surprising that both of these wunderkinds are in the championship game considering how well they played this year.
Yeah, and you look at Mahomes, one of the keys for him has been the consistency in his coaching staff, and now, a big part of these long playoff runs has been Eric Bieniemy staying there as the offensive coordinator. And now you look at the Bills, going to be the same thing with Brian Daboll staying there now. Like all these other teams that needed head coaches. Now, I don't know what it is, if they're just scared of losing out on the next best guy that they rush out and they hire an Arthur Smith, whoever the Eagles hired today. It's just strange to me, this head coaching process. And in the meantime, you're passing on an Eric Bieniemy, a Brian Daboll. It's a shame, and it's a good thing for Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, I guess.
Yeah, it's like these guys get to improve their coaching staff year over year by just not doing anything, just keeping that continuity. And yeah, I mean, if you're a Bills and Chiefs fan, you're probably excited that you're coordinators haven't been poached, especially Brian Daboll, seeing like the growth and maturation of Josh Allen. The Brian Daboll one is extremely surprising because it just looked like him to the Chargers was a done deal. He went to high school with the and played football with the general manager of the Chargers, that everyone knows, and celebrates and praises what he did with Josh Allen. You'd assume he would have the same, if not more, success with Justin Herbert. But yeah, to your point, it's just like, I don't know what, you know, information they're getting that we don't have. Obviously a lot, right? A real lot, but like, it seems a little, I don't know, like, it seems short-sighted to not wait until after the conference title games to hire your head coach, especially if two of the guys you're looking at are in the conference games.
Right, and even Todd Bowles with the Bucks, right? And, you know, I don't know if it's part of, you know, everyone's scared of what happened to the Indianapolis Colts with Josh McDaniels a couple years ago, so they're rushing out to hire the best guy available at the time before one of these conference championships or Super Bowl coaches can renege on a deal, I guess. I don't know. It's strange. And yeah, all credit to Josh Allen. Everyone very happy with the steps he took this year. And I think we can expect another step in the offseason with his coaching staff staying intact.
Yeah, this is all good conversation, and it might be actionable intel next season, depending on how the rest of the head coaching hires go and what we see with the coaching staff and the roster turnover. But it was just a fun thing to talk about leading into the conference game and conference weekend. And obviously, there's a lot more angles and actionable intel we're going to talk about here in a few minutes. But before we get into it, I think we should do some scope and futures, because you get some intel from our sponsors, BetMGM, who provide all of our lines and odds. What's going on, or what was happening, I guess, in the futures market? But let's talk about all that in scope and futures.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, scope and futures.
Yeah, so we're looking at the Super Bowl odds from the opening number throughout the season up until now. And so Chiefs opened as the preseason favorite, obviously, after winning last year's Super Bowl. Opened at plus 650, which seems like an awfully low number. They're currently plus 205, the second favorite on the board now. You know, and I asked you before the show, I can only imagine what the Chiefs are going to open at for Super Bowl 56. You know, if they go back to back here, I don't know, plus 300, plus 250.
My guess would be like 350 to 4, but it would be shockingly low. Well, I guess not shockingly if we're expecting it.
Right. Anyway, so Chiefs plus 650 to plus 205 now. Packers opened plus 3,500, and they are now the favorite to win Super Bowl 55 at plus 195. Buffalo Bills opened plus 2,500. They're currently plus 350. And the Buccaneers opened plus 1,600, and they are now plus 450. So yeah, it shows the value that you can get even on a top favorite like the Chiefs. You know, get it early, and you know what? If they are as good as people think they are, they're going to be here, and that number is only going to go down throughout the year. You lucked out a little bit. You got them pretty early in the season at, you know, a number that looks pretty good today.
Yeah, if you remember, we did in a scoping futures we did after week one. I go to Vegas. Back it up real quick. I go to Vegas the opening kickoff of the NFL season. For the past 3 years, I interned a Vegas sports bet NFL betting season long contest. And this past year, I actually stayed at MGM in Vegas. And after game one, we talked about this in scope and futures. Earlier this year in the beginning of the season, I got the Chiefs at plus 600 when they were 1-0. So it only dropped, 50 cents on the dollar, right? Is that how you'd say it? It went from 650 to 600. Yeah. And the odds of the Ravens at that time also were reduced from 650 to 600. So they were the co-favorites at the Ravens. I'm sitting there in the sports book looking at it, thinking just how awesome the Chiefs played without showing much of their playbook. And I actually had a lot more hope for the run game and like the balance on the offense, but I was like, you know what? I'm taking this at 6-1. I don't play a lot of futures very often, but still got this ticket, and I'm pretty excited about it.
There you go. And yeah, so based on those numbers, the Chiefs throughout the season, so from opening until today, Thursday, They've received 11.81% of the tickets, but an incredible 34.31% of the handle. So that goes to show the public was in on them, but the sharps were a whole lot more. The sharps obviously more willing to bet the lower price. You know, the public always looking for the long shot ticket, the lottery ticket. The Packers, they got 11.38% of the tickets throughout the season, 8.41% of the handle. The Bucks, 9.11 and 11.23 respectively. And the Bills, they had 8.84% of tickets, 5.86% of the handle. You look at some of the other playoff teams, Seahawks, Steelers, Saints, Ravens were next in line. The Los Angeles Rams, who made it to the NFC divisional round against the Packers, they were on just 3.23% of tickets and 2.13% of the handle throughout the season. The number one defense in the NFL up until last week when Aaron Rodgers and co. absolutely embarrassed them.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that. You got me in there, head-to-head pick 'em, which, again, we're going to bring back up or discuss here in a second. Do you have any future plays or tickets still available, still pending?
No. It was a bad year for me. Not a whole lot more to talk about, really. But you know, you can learn from this, and you know what? If any of these four teams, and we talked about the Bills and the consistency and the coaching staff, I'd be very interested in how they would open, especially if they were to lose this week. You get them at a little bit higher of a number maybe than they should or than they would otherwise deserve. And yeah, I think, you know, one of the lessons I can take from the NFL the last couple of years is just the importance of a coaching staff, not only a head coach, but top coordinators and top assistants even. And the Bills are going to have that going forward in the next year. And you know what? I think we see Josh Allen continue to improve. We see more Zach Moss in Buffalo next year. And yeah, that's going to be a team I'm very excited to see their Super Bowl 56 odds.
Yeah, also, this isn't a play that I generally make. I don't bet a lot of futures, but in most markets, there is some sort of version of like prop swaps or different ways, abilities that you can hedge and like guarantee yourself some money for any of the futures that you're holding. Like if you were to put down on the Bills plus 2,500, getting plus 350 right now, depending on, you know, the size of your ticket or your original wager, you can, you know, probably get out, buy out now and guarantee yourself a little win if you don't want to let it ride or do some sort of hedge situation. So, you know, BetMGM is our sponsor, and they're operational in a lot of states, and I would assume most of the states have an availability on type in these, like, prop swap markets. I wish I had more like information for you guys in that, but it's just an idea that ran into my head as we're talking about it. So, you know, that's the other way to play this. You know, if you are one of those guys that are one of those bettors that is looking to cash on a possible long shot, just bake it into your strategy, the availability to guarantee yourself a win without having to see the bet all the way through.
That's smart. And you see that a lot in college football and maybe even college basketball, though I'm not too sure there, but college football, you always see that where, you know, someone tweets out a picture of their ticket of a, you know, last year we saw an LSU, I guess, and you know, obviously a bit of an inflated number for them at the start of the year. And then we see what they did throughout last season or two seasons ago now, I guess, excuse me. And you know, a week or two before the national title game, you can sell that ticket for a little bit.
For sure. If you bet any team not named Clemson, Alabama, or Ohio State to win the national championship and they make it into the college football playoff, you definitely have a shot to swap that prop out or that future out and guarantee yourself some money. You know, it's just finding the other team, really. It's, you know, it's usually a combination of like Oklahoma, Oregon, or whatever. No, there's a Notre Dame every now and then, but it's just finding that one outlier. And if you had the LSU Tigers, perfect example, Eston, that was the situation that, you know, if you had that future, then you absolutely banked, because it's very top heavy in the college football future market. But again, that's kind of the point here that we're talking about, is just, you know, the different things that you can do with future tickets if you got a long shot and they make it as this far down the line. But that's all I got in terms of future conversation. Do you want to start looking at the conference games?
Yeah, let's get into it. A big week ahead, and only two games, but yeah, plenty to talk about.
Yeah, and as you guys all know, me and Esed have been doing a weekly head-to-head NFL pick'em. I had won the regular season, but I think I only won by two games. We decided to carry it in to the regular season, and man, your boy, well, I mean, we're both your boys, but Jeff, me, not doing so good. I'm getting just brutalized by Esten. Esten, taking no mercy on me. Esten, what's going on in this head-to-head pick'em?
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. MGM bugging.
Yeah, so big week last week. Big, just a big week.
Yeah.
3-0 gives myself a 32-30-2 record for the season, the regular season, and the playoffs. Quite the incredible playoff run I've been on here. Last week, I was on the Green Bay Packers, -6.5 against the Los Angeles Rams. Didn't even have to sweat that one. Cleveland Browns, +10 against the Chiefs. They made me sweat a little bit, but, you know, quite comfortably in the end. Almost cash an outright ticket there, but Chad Henne just, you know, unstoppable on those 10, 14-yard runs. Oh, boy, that was frustrating. And then Tampa Bay Buccaneers +3 against New Orleans Saints. I did cash an outright upset ticket there. So to go 3-0, up 32-30-2. So
you're an icon. Definitely in the Bet Slippin' Podcast universe, you're an icon.
Yeah, hang up my jersey, it'll be good. But yeah, so can be no worse than tied this week. And no worse than lose by one for the season. So I'm feeling good. You have to be sweating it a little bit over there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I either got to take positions I probably aren't in love, probably am not in love with, and or I don't. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm down two games, three games to go. I feel pretty bad actually. I don't feel like I can win this one. But yeah, so I'm not even gonna bullshit around it. It's like, yeah, I don't feel good. That is an accurate assessment of my feeling of our weekly head-to-head pick'em. Felt great about it though going in. I'm trying to. You said something that I thought was interesting, and saying, and we're going to talk about it. I guess we'll just go right into it here. Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the Green Bay Packers. I don't know who referred to this as the Bay of Pigs, but that's an awesome nickname. It's an old one too. I think it might have been Chris Berman. Anyway, shout out to whoever did that. But I thought that Rams Packers game was getting a little close. I thought we're gonna say you'd have a sweat on the stretch, because the Rams got that to a one touchdown game, and their defense looked like it was starting to lock in even without Aaron Donald. And you know, the Packers had a decisive 50 plus yard touchdown throw from Aaron Rodgers to Alan Lazard in the fourth quarter that put the game out of reach. Two scores ended up being the final outcome, or the final score of the game, and a 32-18 win for the Packers. But they stop them there. I felt pretty good about how the Rams are moving the ball. I didn't think Jared Goff's thumb was a real issue, but you weren't tripping ever on that one? You were never sweating that game?
You know, thought about maybe sweating it, but yeah, no, never never cracked a sweat. I had full faith in Aaron Rodgers, and you know what? It turned out to be Alan Lazard who got it done. It could have been Davante Adams. It could have been Robert Tonyan. It could have been Marquez Valdez-Scantling. It could have been Aaron Jones. It could have been A.J. Dillon. You know, there are so many options there. I was fine. Yeah, it took a 58-yarder to Alan Lazard. You know, they had plenty of time, and they needed to put up points. It was only a one-score game. So they had plenty of time to get more points. I had full faith. And the Rams defense did come on in the second half for sure. You're absolutely right about that. And, you know, that's probably what secured Brandon Staley's job with the Los Angeles Chargers and keeps Brian Daboll out of a head coaching gig for now, for another year, rightly or wrongly, whatever. Yeah, no, I was fine. And Yep. Packers got it done last week, and they're going to get it done again this week. I'm all over the Packers, -3.5. You know what? I don't want to hear about what Tom Brady did with the New England Patriots. Yes, he's looked very good with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as well. And yes, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers passing attack is much better than the New England Patriots passing attack ever was outside of that one Randy Moss year. But no, I'm fine with this. I'm on the Packers, -3.5. Over under 51.5. Little more split here. Looking back to BetMGM betting data again, 74% of tickets are on the over. 78% of the money is on the over. That's surprising to me a little bit. It opened at 51.5, but it's staying at 51.5. This is probably going to be a case for me where I wait it out closer to game time Sunday, see if that total will rise a couple points by then, and then I will maybe get in on the under in just a game that could fall short of expectations, especially in that early slot on Sunday.
Well, we can go head-to-head in this one. I like the Buccaneers +3.5. The hook is huge, honestly, in this case. I thought Tampa Bay – I don't see why Tampa Bay's defensive line wouldn't dominate in this matchup like they did in the first matchup. You know, I don't think you can just disregard the first Tampa Bay and Green Bay game and factor in – how the Rams' defense, which was the best defense in the league, looked against Green Bay last week. I feel like they both matter, and Tampa Bay was able to push around that offensive line. They were able to hold Aaron Rodgers to third and longs by pretty much taking Aaron Jones out of the game. And Tampa Bay actually has the third highest pressure rate, whereas Los Angeles, they have an average pressure rate. They just have more sacks, and it was mostly because Aaron Donald, who was compromised. So I don't look at how the offensive line did last week against the Los Angeles Rams. I don't factor that in more so than how Tampa Bay did in their first game, where they dominated dominated Green Bay up front. Also, Green Bay's offensive line got worse. Their best offensive lineman, David Bakhtiari, left tackle, he's out. He's not playing. He's injured for the rest of the season. And to me, that matters. Tampa Bay got nearly 30% pressure rate in the first game against them, and their season average was 27.8. Again, they were third. So, and Aaron Rodgers in Lambeau is as scary of a situation as there could be to for an opposing team to play in. But there's, obviously literally no better quarterback to have in that situation than Tom Brady. And it's not like he's not used to inclement weather, winter weather. I mean, it's not as cold or as bad the winter season as it is in Green Bay, but hell, New England sucks in the winter. I'm from upstate New York. New England's not fun. You just think the offensive crispness of Green Bay is they're on too far or too much of a roll at this point, and you don't want to get in the way of that juggernaut. Is that kind of your thinking?
Yeah, I think so. And Twitter was talking all about it last week. Just the smile on Aaron Rodgers' face, almost every play where he's just feeling it. I don't know what it is. I've never been so sold on player confidence from a betting aspect before than this. Obviously it's dangerous to invest your money in how you think a player feels about himself, especially when he's going up against a top flight opponent like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Los Angeles Rams. But Aaron Rodgers is feeling it. I have full confidence, full faith in this guy right now. And, we haven't seen it for a couple years, but we saw it all year long other than that one game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, yeah, you have a case. They displayed plenty of things in that game to make anyone believe that they could do it again. But you know what? The New Orleans Saints spanked the Tampa Bay Buccaneers twice in the regular season. That didn't mean a whole lot last week. I don't think that first Packers loss to the Bucs is going to mean a whole lot either. And I think Aaron Rodgers and co. get their revenge, especially at home at Lambeau. I think that's going to be a big factor, even with a limited number of fans there. They are allowing some fans, I believe, but It's not going to be the raucous Lambeau January crowd that, you know, we've come to know.
An opportunity I'm looking to have is going to be in game. Green Bay was up 10 in the first quarter of the first meeting with Tampa Bay before, you know, Tampa Bay stormed back 30 and unanswered. And Green Bay scores the most points per game in the first half, whereas Tampa Bay is just 21st in opponents' first half points per game. So they're giving up some points in the first half, and Tom Brady's tied for third with a whole bunch of people, granted, with 3 fourth-quarter comeback victories. But we've seen him do this a number of times in the Super Bowl and in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl, and it's not like he doesn't have the weapons and the tools to come back if they are down, or at least cover. So if Green Bay goes up goes up early, which they almost figure to do. I mean, you would have to be either, I don't know. It would be foolish of a better to not recognize and understand just how good Green Bay's offense is out the gate in every game, essentially, this season. Like, you know, I think they set the record for most second quarter points in the history of the NFL. Like, they're unbelievable in the first half. As demonstrated by the stats that I listed, but so I'm going to be looking for Tampa Bay in game if I can get them at over a touchdown, if they're, you know, down by a touchdown. So I don't know if how often you're hitting in game bets. I don't know if it's more or less in the regular season or playoffs, but what does that theory or angle sound like to you?
Yeah, your theory works, and yes, if you do want to bet the Bucks, yeah, wait a bit, wait for the first quarter to end. Yeah, I agree with you there. I probably won't do that, partially because I'm on the Packers, so right. Their number at the end of the first quarter, the end of the first half, is probably going to be lower than it is pregame here. But no, yeah, just back to my case on the Packers. This Bucks defense is obviously great in so many areas. Jeff talked about them all. Where they aren't so great, however, is third down defense and red zone defense, 18th and 21st, respectively. And, you know, I'm going to harken back to the Cleveland Browns, Kansas City Chiefs last week, the importance of third down defense, especially. Almost all game long, whether it was still when Patrick Mahomes was in or at the end when Chad Henne was there, the Browns had the Chiefs right where they wanted them on third down, seemingly, you know, if not every drive, every second drive. Had them faced with a third and long, and, you know, just allowed either Darrell Williams to catch a pass and run for 10 yards, catch a swing pass and run for 10 yards, or allow Mahomes or Chad Henne to just run it up the middle for 10 yards when they were deep in coverage. I don't know why they were doing that against Chad Henne, but anyway, the Bucs defense obviously much better than the Browns in that aspect, at least, but now, I think we can still see the same thing. And, you know, Tom Brady, whatever. There, no quarterback in the NFL this year or any is as good at picking apart weaknesses like that than Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, if he sees any opening, he's going to find his guy or he's going to take off and run for it himself. And, you know, if he can force the Buccaneers defense to stay on the field for these long drives, I think that's going to be great. And Packers were number one in time of possession all season long. That's going to be a big thing this week for me. And yeah, that's why I like the Packers to win by 4 or more points.
The other, I guess the other market in here is the total. You already kind of gave your lean or what you're thinking regarding the total. It's under 51.5 right now, or 51.5. I like the under, actually. You know, Green Bay likes to chew the clock. They're first in net time of possession. Both defenses are top 10 in pass and rush explosive play rate. Also, you got to fade the market situation. What's the BetMGM data right here? Close to 78% of the handle is on the over. So everyone's bearing into the over with a similar thinking as you. And also, not to say that you're off. I'm just saying, like, everyone loves Green Bay's offense, and then they see Tom Brady and those explosive wide receivers and just figure it's going to get into a shootout. Plus, I'm pretty sure Tampa Bay, New Orleans last week went over despite not so good offense. And this matchup, you would figure, is going to be a little more explosive, and you're going to have more of a balance better offense being played. So in that sense, I think there's going to be some inherent value on the under. You know, people are expecting Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers in their first playoff game ever to shoot it out. But, you know, I think Tampa Bay, ideally, if they're being real with themselves, they need to play. They need to take the air out of the ball. They need to play a keep away with Green Bay's offense. And Green Bay's offense just naturally chews up the clock. That's what they want to do. It's almost like it feels watching Aaron Rodgers execute the Green Bay offense feels a little bit like watching Chris Paul execute a half-court offense. Like, it's just slow, methodical, a lot of dribbling, and then he surgically like picks you apart. So I think, you know, the clock is going to be running a lot. I guess the fade the market on the over is probably the strongest angle or factor in this handicap. But I do like the under 51.5.
Yeah, but my strategy always with, you know, standalone marquee matchups like this is you wait until close to kickoff, and you're going to get an extra point or two, and that plays a big difference, right? Like, why pay -115 for the under on 51.5 when you can pay -110 on 53.5, right? So
can I respond to that though? You're usually right, especially in the getaway, the get out of town games. I think that's what they're referred to, essentially the Sunday night football games. People are going to hammer the over and hammer the favorite. Why I think it's different in this case, and it's just something that just dawned on me. 78% of the handle is on the over, and it hasn't moved. Like, people, they're taking over action happily. So I'm thinking the sharps are going to come in at the end and drive this line down, because right when they start getting under action, big under action, they're going to move that. And, you know, my thought process behind it is because they haven't done anything with it despite getting overwhelming over action. Overwhelming.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's a very sharp take, and something I was concerned about. I meant to get your take on it, but you just offered it. And yeah, so that's very valid. Maybe you do go ahead and bet it now.
Yeah. All right. Is there any player props that you're interested in? The player prop market is a little bare right now. I'm not especially good at player props. So really, like, a lot of the work would probably be projecting stuff out. But whatever. I mean, there's enough props here. Did you dig into it? Do you have, like, anything here?
Yeah, just a little bit. Not as heavy as I was last week. I did fairly well last week in player props. This week, yeah, I don't know what it is early still, but we shot on Thursday last week. We're doing it again now, and yeah, there's not even really kind of some injury concerns in Tampa Bay, I guess, that's holding things up with Antonio Brown and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, even though it seems like they're all going to play. But anyway, whatever. I like Ryan Suckup over 1.5 field goals +100. You know, I think that early on, even at least the Packers defense holds up a little bit, forces the Bucs to just go ahead and take the points early on when they need to. And then I also like Rob Gronkowski anytime touchdown +250 and Cameron Brate anytime touchdown +400. Probably play either or. I'm not sure you need to play both, but Gronkowski nearly scored last week. He had a target at the goal line. Basically, they just didn't hang on to. And Cameron Brate was the Buccaneers' leading receiver last week somehow. Obviously, they didn't need to pass a whole lot. Tom Brady finished below 200 passing yards. Brate only had 50, but whatever. That was enough to lead his team. So I think maybe he instilled a little bit of trust and maybe gets rewarded with a touchdown catch in the NFC Championship. Either way, I like both those guys, especially with all three of the top receivers at least nicked up a little bit.
Yeah, the only prop I'm interested would be under Aaron Jones, 59.5 rushing yards. Is actually plus money right now, +105. So I guess the market disagrees with me there, but I guess I'm fading the market on the total here. Why not take it in the prop? He had 10 carries, 15 yards in the first matchup. 60 of his 99 rushing yards last week was on one run. Tampa Bay has the first best rush defense by DVOA. They have the first best adjusted line yards according to Football Outsiders, first running and running back yards, first and second level yards, and second and stuff, right? So I think they're gonna hope the plan is to focus on the run game. I would think Todd Bowles' plan is gonna be to focus on the run game and have Aaron Rodgers be precise and hope that their secondary can make plays like they did last week. Granted, it's, you know, Drew Brees isn't quite the quarterback, not nearly the quarterback Aaron Rodgers is, but that's all I got for props. Do you want to go to the AFC, or do you have any final thoughts for this matchup?
Yeah, sorry, one more player prop here I forgot to mention. Robert Tonyan over 3.5 catches, plus 125. I like the payout there. And last week we saw, obviously, Jared Cook had a costly fumble for the Saints, but the Saints went right back to him the next drive just because he had a matchup advantage against these Bucks. He had at least one big game against the Bucks earlier in the season too. So the Bucks defense, as great as it has been, it was exploited by tight ends a few times this year. And yeah, the Saints tried to do it last week. Obviously, there were many other issues at play there, Drew Brees being one of them, but Robert Tonyan, I like over 3.5 catches.
All right, cool. Me and you are head-to-head. You're laying the 3.5 with the Packers, so I'm taking 3 in the hook.
Hey, I got to give you a chance to get back in it, right?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm happy you didn't pass on this one. All right, well, let's go over the AFC here. Buffalo Bills playing the Kansas City Chiefs. The line right now, the Bills are plus 135 on the money line. It's 3, minus 110 each way. The over-under is 53.5. Are you taking the Bills here? Please take the Bills.
I don't think so. 56% of tickets are on Kansas City, 63% of the money on Kansas City. 60% of the tickets are on the under, 57% of the money is on the under as well. But yeah, this line, obviously, you know, Patrick Mahomes' status for this game is technically up in the air, even though everybody and their dog seems to expect him out there, as they should. You know, he has been tweeting since after the game that all seems fine, he seems fine, and he practiced Wednesday. They called it limited, but he took every snap apparently. So yeah, I expect Patrick Mahomes to be out there. Minus 3 is a very soft line for a AFC championship game with Patrick Mahomes under center. All due respect to Josh Allen, Brian Daboll, and the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you on pretty much the bulk of that. A little handicap there. Kansas City dominated them in the first meeting, and I know it was a shitty scheduling spot for Buffalo, but the level of domination is, I don't know how much of that is scheduling. Like, how much could that be chalked up to scheduling, and how much could that be chalked up to? The Chiefs are a better team. They are. Like, they outgained them 466 to 206 in total yards, at 27 to 20 first downs. Possessed the ball for 38 minutes to 22. They were even in turnover differential, and Kansas City had more penalties. So it wasn't like boneheaded errors from Buffalo is what did them in. They were out-schemed and just outplayed. They lost their one-on-one matchups. They had all three of their wide receivers active. Their big three. Now, Stephon Diggs, John Brown, and Cole Beasley. You know, they had the strategy to make them run. Make Kansas City run the ball and don't let Mahomes beat you. Well, Kansas City ran the ball for 46 times for 245 yards, ran it right down their throat. And I know there's some questions with their run game now, probably more than at that point in the season because Clyde Edwards-Helaire is banged up. Is he out officially? Do you know that?
Important. No, I don't think he's been ruled out yet. But yeah, banged up. Although, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. He's going to be questionable.
For sure. And I think that there's a chance that Buffalo looks at the results from last game, last time they played with Kansas City, and saw how well they ran the ball and are going to look to put some pressure on Mahomes and see if he's compromised. Maybe maybe blitz a little more in, early in the game. And I think my view, and this is the gamble, right? This is us gambling. My view is that they're going to get torched. I think Mahomes is going to have zero lingering effects. That's the bulk of my handicap, essentially, right? I mean, I can sit here and say this, that, and the other thing, but when it comes down to it, it's -3 with Patrick Mahomes, and I don't believe Patrick Mahomes is going to be as compromised as the line would indicate. That's my feeling.
Right. So the Chiefs just posted their injury report for Thursday as we've been doing this. Edwards-Helaire limited again. Mahomes limited as well, but that's a very conservative limited, I believe. But yeah, you're right. And we've talked about all season long. You're going to take the run game away from Patrick Mahomes? Cool. That's the one guy you don't want to do that to, right? Like, oh yeah, we're going to force Patrick Mahomes to pass more. We got him right where we want him. Come on. Like, yeah, force Patrick Mahomes to pass. Do it and have fun losing. Yeah, this is setting up well for the Chiefs.
Yeah, and again, the final score was, I guess I say, only 26-17. They covered, but I don't think it was as, like, I think that game was worse than the score indicates, right? And people look at it on paper and like, ah, you know, they a couple plays here or there and they could have won. And I don't view that as being that close of a game. Also, you know, I had Travis Kelce over receiving yards last week. I would play that prop as well this week. He's over under for receiving yards. It's 94.5 receiving yards. Bills are dead last in receptions and receptions allowed to tight ends. They're 26 in fantasy points per game. Their first game, Kelce would have went under this 94.5 with 65 yards on 5 catches. But he had 2 touchdowns in the game, which brings me to a second Kelce prop I'm interested in playing, which is anytime touchdown. It's only -115. I think it's as, I mean, I'm just not overthinking it, I guess. I think. I'm just going to not think very much. Kelce is an absolute animal, and the Bills' defense hasn't been good against the tight end the whole year. So I think he's going to feast.
Yeah, that's one where, yeah, the payout's not great. That just means you bet more and win more, right? So, yeah, Kelce pretty close to a lock to get in against Buffalo Bills. I'm pretty white on props here so far. You know, this game Thursday, they're a little slow putting these out because of injury concerns for Mahomes. No, I don't know why we're light on the Bills side. I guess Cole Beasley might be a little banged up still, but once the odds do come out in full, I'm going to be looking at Dawson Knox receiving yards or receptions props. You know, we saw the Browns last week had a lot of success going to David Njoku, of all people, and Austin Hooper. So the Chiefs, a little flexible against tight ends, you know, especially when they have these big leads and they're just playing prevent defense and covering the wide receivers. You know, the tight ends have some room to pick up 10, 15 yards at a time in the middle. So I like Dawson Knox for that. And Cole Beasley has long played that sort of similar role as a slot receiver, catching all these underneath passes. And you know, he can occasionally break a big one. I like him to have some room to operate against the Chiefs if he is actually declared active.
Do you have any feeling like lean or likes on the total?
No, no, I don't want to bet this total, partially because I don't want to have to root against points being scored here. No, I just want to see points. I'd love to bet the over, but 53.5 is a high number. It opened at 50, so it's already been bet up. Part of that is growing belief of Mahomes playing, I guess. So if I had to go either way right now, it would be to the over -110, but yeah, I just don't want to have to root against that, I guess, is my lazy analysis and my cop-out answer.
I'm leaning towards the over. Just it's pending the weather. They're projecting to be mid-40s, windy and rainy. So if it's windy and rainy, I'm less excited about the over. But, like, the Bills, this is what's awesome about the Bills and the Bills, like, coaching staff, is they know they can't run it, and they don't even bullshit with the run. They, like, they're not going to try to do something they can't do. So their response, even in a crappy weather game last week, was just to spread them out. They're like, hey, well, our runs will essentially be three-yard passes underneath. Like, that was the way that they would try to, like, scheme up easy yards or players into space versus just, like, trying to run the ball. And we've seen, like, teams, coaching staffs, turtle in playoff games in big moments, try to hide a young quarterback or try to play, like, a simple, less variance, I guess, game plan by just running the ball and, you know, punting more than they're not. Like, how often do we see teams not be aggressive in playoff moments or in playoff spots? And that's not the case with the Bills, to their credit. They know what they can do and they know what they can't do, and they're gonna go out there and throw the ball. So that's why I kind of like the over, because I do think that there's this natural reaction and instinct of bettors of the market to be nervous about the Chiefs offense. I guess that's not correlating with the betting handle, like you said, but I just think there's some inherent value on the over because people are assuming, like, Mahomes, he was out on his feet last week. He got knocked out of the game. Like, that image is very visceral, and I think it stands out in people's minds, right? Like, him having to be helped up and being glassy-eyed or, you know what I mean, just not being all there. I think he's just going to come back and play, and he's going to be Patrick Mahomes. And, again, that's what we're doing here. It's gambling. So that's my gamble. I lean to the over, though.
Like, my entire life growing up, it seemed like, you know, pass play percentage, run pass play splits, you know, the widespread belief was always that the better the team, the closest that split was to even, because they would build these leads and then they would just run out the clock. Well, the Chiefs and the Bills, because their quarterbacks are so freaking good, they just continue to pass all the time. And, you know, both of them right at the top of the league in pass play percentage all season long. The Chiefs last year and this year, the Bills certainly this year. I mean, the quarterbacks are so good that, yeah, they want the ball in their hands. And the coaches know that the more often the ball is in the hands of their quarterback, the better their chances of winning. So, yeah, weather can be whatever it is. Neither team has a great running game, but also both teams have an incredible quarterback. And we're going to see a lot of pass attempts, and there are plenty of pass catchers who can go all the way any single time they get it in their hands.
All right, good stuff. So our only head-to-head in the conference title games is me taking Tampa Bay +3.5. We're both on the same side here with the Chiefs.
Wow, playing for the tie.
No, I can't lie. I can't force it. And I also, I mean, I showed you my Chiefs ticket. What do you want? You want me to try to land the plane where it's +3 with the Bills? But I was thinking about doing a money line parlay where I money line the Green Bay Packers and the Chiefs. Those guys money line parlay together is +150, and then betting plus points. But it's just too much gamble, and this playoffs isn't going that well for me. And instead of forcing it into tight windows, yeah, I'm laying it up. That's what I'm doing here, Eston. I'm laying it up.
Doug Peterson. that's going to be a popular money line parlay this week for sure. You know, obviously the two money line favorites, and, you know, two certainly public betting favorites as well. Even though Tom Brady is on the other side of one of those games, I think we are going to see the bulk of the action continue to be on the Packers.
Yeah, that's my thing about why I almost took two dogs in this situation. I'm partially chasing you. And the other part is, like, how easy and on the nose is that money line parlay? Everyone's going to take it. Vegas, MGM, BetMGM, they all know it's coming. They know the bets that they're going to have to sweat, right? So you figure, like, it's just not that easy. It never is. One of these teams are going to be probably upset. And that's what we're trying to do. I think it's Tampa Bay, but that's just because I have all the faith in Mahomes, and you feel differently. Not to say that you're predicting the Bills, but you are riding out with Aaron Rodgers, and hey, he's going to be the MVP, so I can't fault you for that. That's all I got for the NFL, though. Do you have any other final thoughts?
No, that's good. And yeah, going to be an exciting weekend either way. Well, not a weekend this time, sorry. Going to be an exciting Sunday. And nice to have Saturdays freed up again for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to miss college football and Saturday NFL football, but I don't know. It's not going to be that free for me because I'm going to be definitely playing a lot of NBA games like I usually do. And this podcast, we're hoping to keep it going when the football season ends and we don't have the crutch of a weekly slate to break down. So we're going to have to look for other ways to handicap games, in the NBA and college basketball, NHL, without, you know, extended injury report or injury reports, or knowing exactly who's going to be active. So to kind of kick off those efforts, I do have a one NBA play for tomorrow, recording Thursday, January 21st. This game is tipping off tomorrow, so it'd be Friday, January 22nd. I got the Chicago Bulls and the Charlotte Hornets game. I'm looking at the Hornets, and I think they're going to actually be favored by either 3 or -4. Have you been paying attention to either one of these teams by chance?
No. I'm going to be honest with you.
No, it's all good. So the Bulls they actually have the best ATS record in the league. They're 10-4 against the spread. But Charlotte has the best ATS margin. Bulls are first, or are second, excuse me. But Chicago's feistiness is like more in the public consciousness because they're a more popular team, you know, being from Chicago, Jordan's team. And they've beaten Dallas twice this month. Another fan favorite, Luka Doncic. Also, they've covered in back-to-back games against both LA teams. So it's just more exposure for the Chicago Bulls. Charlotte, though, they've covered 7 in a row in this head-to-head, and they beat them 3 out of the last 3 out of the 4 meetings last season. They were dogs, underdogs in the last 5. The Bulls are a better rebounding team. Like a much better rebounding team. I think they're 4th in defensive rebounding percentage, whereas Charlotte is dead last. However, that edge is going to be reduced because Wendell Carter is doubtful with a thigh injury. And the Hornets are getting back Cody Zeller, or are expected to get back Cody Zeller, who was their best rebounder from last season. Also, the Bulls are going to be without 2 of their wings. Possibly without 2 of their wings. The rookie... I want to get this name right. It's not a hard name. The rookie, Patrick Williams? Patrick Williams, yes. I know it's Patrick Williams. All right, Patrick Williams and Otto Porter. Not amazing. Otto Porter is not an amazing defensive player. Everyone loves Patrick Williams. They're saying this kid could be like the next Kawhi Leonard. Might be a little lofty praise. Bottom line is, if both those guys are out, I don't know who's guarding Gordon Hayward. And Gordon Hayward is absolutely playing at an all-star level. I do just like the Hornets, and I think the public is going to hammer the Bulls if they're getting a full basket. And I think it can get up to even 4. I'm willing to play it up to 4. I like the Hornets over the Bulls Friday, January 22nd, up to 4 points. Book it. I was interested in the Boston Celtics game because I thought they were going to get Jason Tatum back, but I just got a notification that Jason Tatum will not be playing tomorrow because he still has a condition coming out of testing positive for COVID. So only one NBA play this week, but I like the Hornets -4. Do you want to go to the window and start to get out of here?
Yeah, let's do it. Get to the window and then get ready to sit on the couch and wait for Sunday.
All right. Well, as you guys know the routine here, our going to the window segment is where we just lock in our best bets here from this episode. So I'll let you start it off. What do you got on your ticket?
The Bet Slippin' Podcast.
Like,
going to the window.
What we're doing here, and I'm going to go back, lock in the Packers -3.5. That over under 51.5, probably that's what I'm going to wait for and then try to get the under. I'm going to listen to Jeff's strategy again about pounce on that now, as the house is probably going to drop that line. I'm going to count on that number going up and try to get it a little closer to Sunday. And then, yeah, I'm taking the Chiefs. So call me a coward, whatever. I'm on both favorites. How bold, how brazen, but I am up 32-30-2 on Jeff for the year. So that's the position I've earned, Jeff. I feel good about it. And then player props that I'm locking in. Robert Tonyan over 3.5 catches, plus 125. Robert Gronkowski, anytime touchdown, plus 250. And no odds yet, so I can't provide those. But I'm going to look hard at Dawson Knox, receiving yards and receptions, and try to get an over there if the lines feel good.
Well, the bets that I got on my slip here that I'm willing to hold my feet to the fire on, or have my feet held to the fire on, is Tampa Bay plus 3.5. I like under 51.5 minus 115 in the Bay of Pigs, Tampa Bay versus Green Bay. The Chiefs minus 3 is honestly more of a lean. I like the whole Buffalo thing, so I'm not going to have that one on the slip. But it is a lean. And the Charlotte Hornets, again, I'm willing to take it up to minus 4 for whatever reason. The injury report comes out, and for whatever reason, the Hornets are more than minus 4. I'm not going to play it, but I like the Hornets more than by at least more minus 4. So that's what I'm on here. That's my slip for the week. That's all I got. Is that all you got? We good to go?
Yeah, we're good. And, you know, start talking about the Super Bowl next week. We're going to have 2 weeks to talk about the Super Bowl, obviously. Looking forward to that. I'm going to, you know, be able to talk about the game and then the bevy of prop opportunities for the big game, Super Bowl 55.
Absolutely. Well, best of luck, everyone, on this weekend's action, the conference title games or NBA, college basketball, NHL, whatever you're playing, whatever you're into gambling on. Hopefully we helped you out with the NFL breakdown and maybe make some money off my Hornets handicap. We'll see. We'll talk to you guys next week. Best of luck. Peace out.
You've been listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast with Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire. Listen and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.